Well, I got all my stuff stuffed in a Ryder truck, and I'm headed to the city to get live. It's live. Well, I got all my stuff stuffed in a Ryder truck, and I'm headed to the city to get live. It's fuck on some 10-foot mic cord, bona fide what? Banging on a beatbox, must have been done on my luck, but I'm ill till my final. All right, welcome back to the Rametown Riot podcast. We got a big, exciting week for you here tonight. This is the second part of our two-part duo that's coming out this week, so double treats for all you guys that love listening to the Rametown Riot. I'm here with Matt. We got my dog, Pitbull Brandy, here recording with us in the studio, so if you hear her act up, you know what's going on. Just excited to get talking about sports. Matt, what do we got on the agenda today?
We got a lot of things ranging from MLB, Olympics, NFL, NBA. You know, just kind of give you a brief knowledge, but how's it going, Bob? How are you doing?
That's good, man. Good. I just moved into my new apartment here, so stoked about that. Our new recording studio is a good place.
All right, we'll see what happens. Well, so let's get started here. Let's go a little MLB action. So the trade deadline was the big story the last week or so in the Major League Baseball. And it was one of the most active trade deadlines we've seen in years. So many big trades happened, and a really, really weird thing, maybe the biggest story of this, was that the Yankees were the exact opposite. And the Cubs and the Indians were the exact opposite. What I'm saying by this
is... what you're saying is there's buyers and sellers.
Exactly, right? There's buyers and sellers. So traditionally, the Yankees are the biggest buyer because they have the most money, and they always go and just deal away whatever they can to get these prospects to go for a championship. And the Cubs and the Indians are sellers because they haven't won championship in so many years. But this year, the Yankees were by far the biggest sellers at the deadline, and the Cubs and Indians were big buyers from the Yankees. Very interesting. And so let's get into this a little bit. The first deal that happened, you had the Cubs trading for Aroldis Chapman, the beast of relief pitcher we talked about a little bit in the episode that you're going to hear before this. And he throws 100-plus all the time and really, really makes that team better. Then you have the Cleveland Indians trading for Shelby Miller, who most analysts think Shelby Miller is better than Chapman as a relief pitcher. And he goes to the Cleveland Indians, really solidifying that bullpen and making them much better. And then last but not least, you had the Rangers trading for Carlos Beltran. So the Yankees traded Chapman, Shelby Miller, and Carlos Beltran.
Wow.
For 11 different prospects. And just listening to a bunch of analysts and listening to a bunch of things, the Yankees going into the trade deadline were one of the worst farm systems, worst minor league systems in Major League Baseball. Then after this trade deadline, they're in the top five, if not top three, gathering 11 key young prospects from this. So what are your thoughts, Bob?
So how long does it typically take for a quality farm system with these prospects going and playing in the minor leagues, playing for the Staten Island Yankees or whatever teams they're on? How long does it take to turn a great farm system into a quality pro team? Does that type of thing pay off pretty quick?
I feel like baseball is the least conclusive out of anything. I mean, if you look at the Minnesota Twins, the last, I'll say, 3 years have been known as one of the top three farm systems in Major League Baseball with all these Byron Buxton and all these big-time players they keep getting. However, they seem to never accumulate into great MLB players. Baseball is so weird. You have a guy that dominates at lower league, or he looks like he has all this potential for greatness, gets to the majors, and all of a sudden he can't hit. Or a pitcher loses his command.
Yeah.
Or something like this happens. So baseball is so weird that way. It's very, very seldom you have that surefire lock like the Nationals got lucky in Bryce Harper and Steven Strasburg.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, you want to be competing for a championship every year. That's not where the Yankees saw themselves, right? And obviously, it's good to have good players in your farm system. But it's unfortunate that a lot of times it doesn't pay off. A lot of times it doesn't work out.
What's the unknown?
I think it's tough for the Yankees. Loyals are so used to having a team that's competing for the championship, and now they're selling off and not giving up on any type of playoff hopes or anything like that. Like, it's done for them. So what are you going to do?
So do you think it's a bad move for the Yankees being a seller?
I don't know if it's a bad move necessarily, because they weren't competing for the pennant anyways. So
I mean, that's why they decided to sell off, is because they were no longer contenders, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. So I'm not sure it's a bad move. It's just an unfortunate state for the Yankees loyals. Like, they're not used to being in that situation. They're used to being front runners, and now a lot of the other teams. It's been an interesting situation over the last 10 years where the Yankees used to outspend every other team in baseball by $100 million, and now that's not the case anymore. Somehow the rest of the league caught up with the...
Well, not the whole league. There's only a couple teams that have caught up.
Like the Dodgers, who else spends a lot?
The Dodgers are the number one payroll because they had the new ownership with Magic Johnson and everything. But getting back to the Yankees really quick here, I think, first of all, I don't give a damn about the Yankees and unfortunately about their fan base. You've won 27 pennants. Freaking suck it up. I don't give a damn. Okay. But after that, I think it was a great call for the Yankees. Because even if you're not sure about these prospects and you're not sure about your farm system, we think they could be really good, but it's nothing surefire. The fact that you got youth in that team and you have those chances of bringing in good players that could be with your organization for a long period of time is huge. And also, Aroldis Chapman and Carlos Beltran are free agents after this year. So theoretically, they could go back to the Yankees next year. So they traded all for all these players. I mean, they get all these players in return from the Cubs and the Rangers, and then they could come back and be on the Yankees next year because they're free agents. They're rentals.
They probably dealt them because they were free agents, and they probably were going to lose them anyways.
Well, it's actually that. Well, no, I don't necessarily think that's true. I think they did it because they saw what potential they could get, and also I think the free agent had an aspect to do it, but I don't think 100% at all. Because there's been talk that Chapman and Beltran both love New York.
And they both want to come back.
There's at least a decent chance they're going to come back.
Wow.
It's not for sure. I have a feeling Chapman's going to go to the Cubs. The Cubs, that fan base is going to absolutely give him so much love if he produces that he will probably want to stay there.
Yeah, there's a good chance they win the World Series.
They're going to be a favorite.
Yeah.
So, I mean, after this trade deadline, Bob, who are your favorites? I mean, who are you thinking?
Obviously, the Cubs, top of the league. Chapman's a huge pickup for them. I like the Dodgers also. I'm kind of down on the Giants after that losing streak midseason, but I have faith that they'll kind of pick it up and get things moving.
So all these Giants fans are just going to hate you. You said you kind of like the Dodgers and you dislike the Giants. I mean, that's a big rivalry. And one big thing, though, to your Dodgers, it just came out today. Clayton Kershaw has been placed on the 60-day DL now with his herniated disc in his back.
Are you serious?
60-day DL. So that might change your Dodgers' love a little bit.
Yeah, he's the best pitcher in the league. So does that put him out till the playoffs?
August, yeah, so right before the playoffs. So this is huge.
Tough news for them. I hadn't even heard that. They also have interesting stuff going on. So what's the deal with Yasiel Puig?
Yeah, great. Yasiel Puig is being sent to the minor leagues, believe it or not. So you were talking about the player that was a star last year and was pretty much going to be the face of their organization is now going to be sent to the minors.
What's the deal? Do you have any idea why he's being sent? Is he not producing?
I think a lot of it is management is upset with him overall. And he kind of just plays with reckless abandon. A lot of players on his team don't like it. And it's causing a problem. What do you think, Bob?
Yeah, I know. I know he's got a tendency to go for the highlight play instead of the correct play, or just kind of always a guy that likes to swing for the fences and play kind of selfish baseball in a sense. But I was just surprised when I heard he's being sent to the minors. When I've seen this guy, he's obviously a player that's got all of the capabilities of any other player in the league. Like, athletically, he's probably the biggest freak in the major leagues, or right up there with anyone. So just having him get sent down to the minors seemed like an interesting decision, especially considering that the trade line just passed and it was a super active trade deadline. And if they didn't want a player of his caliber,
they probably
could have traded him.
They tried, and nobody offered him something that they were willing to give up. I mean, so looking at his stats,
So to me, like, it sounds like they're trying to cut this guy or just get rid of him. So at that point, I would just, like, give him away for Just about anything that would be useful at all? Or
well, I don't think they're going to cut him. They're sending him to the minors to hopefully gain some confidence, to gain traction, to do ultimately trade him, I think, to get his value up. So looking at his stats for this year to his career, because we were like we were saying, he was that face of that franchise. And honestly, I was so excited for him. I really liked the way he played. But this year, he's batting 260 with 7 home runs and 34 RBIs, where his career average is 288 with a little over 50 home runs and 180 RBIs. So he's not too...
Wait. Did you say his average is 50 home runs?
No. That was his overall career. Okay. Let me get his yearly total. His career average home runs. Let me see where this is real quick. Sorry about that.
No problem at all. So the point is that he's having a down year. I'm still just shocked. I don't know.
He averages somewhere around 17 or 18 home runs a year. So he's not like insanely off his career stats. It's just I think a lot of it is his effort, his
batter, and he's batting getting away
with the team, getting along with the team, and a lot of things that way. So I think it's a.
So are they just trying to teach him a lesson? Is that the idea? They're trying to put the fear of God in him in a sense, and just say like, look, you could be out of this league if you don't straighten up your act. Do they still have interest in him as a player?
Yes.
So they still want him in their front, but they just kind of want him to not be around right now, I guess, because he's being detrimental.
They feel like they're better without him in the lineup right now.
Wow.
Well, I mean, he is just not clicked this season with that team. He got off to a hot start the first month of the season. After that, it's been downhill.
Okay, what do you see as teams that you really like, or maybe some surprise teams in the major league, somebody that might be competing?
Well, I really see after this trade deadline, the Indians are going to be really interesting. Getting Shelby Miller to solidify that bullpen is huge, and they already have arguably the best pitching staff in baseball. So a surefire bullpen with a great pitching staff, that just has greatness in the playoffs written all over it. Their biggest weakness is hitting. And a big thing with this is Jonathan Lucroy. He was the hot free trade deadline person. He's the catcher for the Milwaukee Brewers. He initially was traded to the Indians. However, he declined his trade to the Indians. According to his no-trade clause, he had a couple teams on there, and the Indians are one of them, so he declined it. But he accepted a trade going to the Rangers.
Hmm.
So it's interesting.
Why do you think he shut down the trade to Cleveland? He just didn't want to be in Cleveland?
He came out saying that he didn't think for the... the biggest thing is they didn't promise him the starting catching role next year.
Okay.
Which doesn't make a lot of sense. If they trade that much for him, they're probably going to start him the next year. Because he has 2 years left on his contract.
All right.
And so that would have really helped that lineup. I mean, he's an over 300 hitter. He'd have really helped them. And another thing is the counterpart is it helped the Rangers, another AL team that could really challenge them. The Rangers got better there through the lineup big time with Jonathan Lucroy and Carlos Beltran. And they already have one dominant pitcher right now and one that can be dominant if he gets back fully healthy in Yu Darvish and Cole Hamels. So, yeah, that's kind of what I think right now. And another couple trades, the Moriarty kid, local kid, Matt Moore.
Oh, yeah.
For the Tampa Bay Rays, right? I mean, he's the same age as us. We grew up, we're not necessarily with him, but we knew who he was. He played for the Rays the last couple years, and he was surefire on his way to a $100 million contract, a big contract, looking great, pitching fantastic in the playoffs. And then he has Tommy John surgery, really slows him down. And this trade deadline, he was traded to the Giants, which I think is going to be an extremely good career booster for him, learning from Buster Posey, Madison Bumgarner, and that great organization they have rolling there.
It's exciting.
Yeah, did you ever meet Matt Moore? Did you know him?
You know what? I met a lot of people that are friends with them or that knew him, but no, I never met him in person.
I met him a couple times. It was funny. Last year, I was golfing at San Diego Casino, and it was a winter golf sesh, and we were just chilling in the clubhouse, and Matt Moore was at the table next to us, and my guy I was golfing with went to school with him. And so we went up and said, what's up? And I didn't even know it was Matt Moore at first because the guy I was with was good friends with him, so he didn't say anything. And so we were talking to him for like 10 minutes, casually, like nothing. And he's not a big dude. He's really not a really big dude at all.
Yeah.
And when we started golfing, he's, oh, yeah, that was Matt Moore. I was like, oh, shit, really? I mean, I never would have guessed that. You're talking about a guy that makes millions of dollars, but he was just so cool and down to earth and just
was that's like crazy. I mean, guys. It's so cool thinking about somebody coming from our neighborhood. You know, we grew up. in the exact same like part of the country he did, the suburbs to the east of Albuquerque. Kid went to Moriarty High School. We both went to Manzano, but we're all mountain kids, and it's great to see him doing so well.
By the way, the mountain kids reference is really for the Albuquerque natives that understand it.
Yeah, not the rest of you listeners out there in Michigan, New York, Chicago,
yeah, Florida. Where you guys are. All right, we're going to take a little break here. We're going to come back with the big world event. It's starting on Friday. We'll talk a little bit of Olympics, the Summer Olympics. Go.
Here at the Rametown Riot, you know we love good barbecue. And the best barbecue in the Albuquerque area is at Art's Barbecue Food Truck, A&J Food Truck. You can find them usually throughout the Knob Hill area, either in front of Tractor Brewery, in front of Sister Bar downtown, or potentially at Tall Inn Market if you're looking for a place to eat lunch on Wednesdays. The guy's got the best brisket in town, pulled pork, pork ribs. Jambalaya is incredible. Last time I saw him, he made me some delicious homemade catfish that he caught earlier that week. Seriously, if you haven't given it a shot, but you love barbecue, you got to get a hold of Art. He's the man, Smokemaster Fresh. Let me give you your number real quick. It is 505-515-6317.
All right, welcome back to the Rametown Riot. So, Bob, we're going to get a little bit into the Olympics here. The big Summer Olympics is happening, and it kicks off Friday, August 5th, and it goes till August 21st. So I just want to get your initial thought. What event are you most excited to watch the Olympics, or what intrigues you the most about the Olympics?
I like the random stuff. I mean, I don't care. I know we're already going to win the basketball tournament. We just have this ridiculous team, but I like seeing the weightlifting stuff. I like seeing the track and field, the archery. One time I watched the speed walking competition, and that was pretty
cool. Speed walking, that's a competition?
Yeah, they have a speed walking competition. It was pretty hilarious because they caught someone running, and they were disqualified. I mean, the Olympics is fun, man. You get it's not just only about the sports that are popular to you. You get the sports that people love all throughout the world competing against each other, representing their country. I like to see smaller countries get represented and hopefully get a place up on the, like, maybe some countries that aren't very well known for their athletes, they get someone that medals in some event. So it's cool, you know. I look forward to the Olympics, and it's a fun time. The world gets together and celebrates their diversity. Yeah, I'm excited for it.
Yeah, I agree, and I think the two biggest things that I love are, number one, the fact of unity that comes between the fan bases because you're cheering for your country. You just throw it on, and I'm instantly entertained because I know who I'm cheering for. I'm going for the USA. I want them to win. I don't care what sport it is. I don't know what the hell I'm watching sometimes, but it doesn't matter. I'm rooting for the USA, and I love that aspect. And second is I love, like you're saying, these little sports. You have these athletes that don't get much fame, don't get much publicity of what they do. However, they train just as hard as any other sport, if not harder, in a lot of these sports. They train so hard. They put their life to this thing, and this is their one moment. This is their one time they can seize that glory, that spotlight, be the person to display all their hard work, to really show what they've done. And I really cherish that, and I am intrigued just watching these athletes and their raw emotion, and I'm really appreciative and respect a lot of these athletes.
Okay, so I got some hot takes on the Olympics. I want your response. Okay, first thing, I think they show too much swimming. What do you think?
No, not necessarily, because Michael Phelps, straight dominance.
Michael Phelps, okay, you like the swimming. I would like to see some more stuff besides just the swimming. Second thing,
I think you're watching only in prime time with that then.
Australia has a population of about 30 million people. They tend to do so freaking well during the Olympics. They're always one of like the top countries as far as winning the most medals. How do they pull it off?
They're outdoors. That's what they do. I don't know. I've never been to Australia, but I assume they're outdoorsmen. They're always outside.
Well, it's just interesting.
Running from cheetahs, running from kangaroos. It's interesting
because India has over a billion people. But
well, that's just because of money, I believe. I think that's all the money, the facilities, and the opportunity.
an opportunity. That's a good point. China does very well. India does very poorly.
China has been
the U.S. of course.
If you guys don't know anything about China and the Olympics, they get kids from like the age 3 years old and put them in training facilities year round, taken from their parents just to focus on their sport.
Is that a fact?
It's 100% fact. The gymnasts, I know for a fact on gymnastics it is.
I think they lie about how old they are, too. Like, the girls are younger than they're supposed to be. You're not supposed to be that young and be competing.
It's possible. It's possible. And
crazy how serious these countries take it.
Well, hell yeah, it's Olympics. You should take it serious.
I think sometimes you're crossing the line when you talk about taking a little girl from her family to make her do gymnastics all the time.
Okay. That's not right.
I'm pretty sure the Russians were attempting to set up some type of like steroid superhuman Professor Xavier camp where they develop some super athletes and force them to compete in the Olympics, something like this. So I mean, it's a great time. I love to watch it. My favorite thing is just the honesty and the integrity of it. Like, I think one time I saw a guy from Lesotho win some type of track event, track and field, and it was like the first time I ever heard of that country. And I'm like, man.
Wait, hold on. I got to stop you. You said the honesty and integrity of it? I feel like that's one of the biggest things that's being questioned with the Olympics there is.
Well, I don't like that part.
Doping and PEDs have been known to be at Olympics.
I like the honesty and the integrity. A long time. I don't like the doping and the lie. Yeah, I mean, that's
so do you
tough.
Just like put up some blinders for it? Or
no,
what do you mean?
This is what I'm saying. These big time countries like the U.S. and Australia and Russia and China competing for who can get the most gold medals in the Olympics and turning it into a big monetized event is not my favorite part of the Olympics. I enjoy watching the competition, the best athletes in the world, but my favorite part is just seeing the little man that doesn't get to shine very often get his moment in the sun.
So that's not honesty then.
I feel like they're probably honest. Like, that Lesotho guy that won that track event, he probably, he's probably just a guy that runs a lot and gets his moment to shine.
I'll somewhat disagree with you, but I on your word choice, but I like your take. I like your take. So I got some things for you. I think this is kind of funny. I was looking over the Summer Olympics, and I was like, man, there is a crap load of sports in this Olympics and a lot of them, I was like, wow, I've never even heard of these damn things.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give you this. There's 28 sports in the Summer Olympics.
Okay.
28. 306 total events.
Wow.
I'm going to see, can you guess, I'm going to put you on the spot. Guess 12 of the sports. 12 out of 28.
Oh, my God. Track and field. Wrestling. Basketball. Soccer. Where am I at?
You're at 4. I got you.
Swimming. Archery.
Wow.
Shit, this is harder than
gosh dang. I put you on the spot, but I thought you'd do better than this.
What?
Are you stuck?
Ping pong.
Damn, you got ping that pong. One, yeah.
Is tennis in there?
Tennis is in there.
Do they do tennis?
Tennis is in there.
Okay, let me think. What am I at?
8. You got 4 more. You're on a time limit. You got approximately 1 minute left.
Shit.
To get 4.
Speed walking.
You just said that is one, but I have no idea if that is one or not. I'll take your word for it.
Okay.
I have never heard of that sport, and I don't see it here, but I'll give you take your word for it.
Look, Matt, I saw it on the Olympics, right? Is weightlifting in there?
Yes, it's 10.
Okay, water polo.
That's 11. One more.
Volleyball.
Boom.
Boom, baby!
Got it.
what did I get, like 40% of the total sports?
You got 12 out of 28. So what is that?
We're gonna
6
play,
into
we're
14,
gonna play a new game, Matt.
Which is 3 out of 7.
We're going to play a new game. I'm going to name a event and you gotta tell me what.
Hold on, like, all right, damn, I have one for you then. Don't take mine.
All right. Do you have any idea of the events that are in the modern pentathlon?
I can't believe you're asking that. That is literally the one I was gonna ask you about because this is the most ridiculous one I found when I was looking at this the other day.
Yeah.
Okay, so you guys don't understand. The pentathlon is a thing of 5 events that people compete in. And Bob, have you looked up what these events are?
No.
Okay, okay, let me put this down. Bob, how would you this is bit this hard? Okay. So this is a real Summer Olympics thing. All right. The first thing they do is fencing. Fencing's round one. Second, a 200-meter freestyle swim. Third is show jumping, which I'm assuming you're on a horse, just jumping and looking pretty. Four is pistol shooting. And five is a 3,200-meter run.
All right.
So my recollection of this is that they get these 28 sports, put it into a hat, and draw five and say, that's this year's pentathlon.
Pistol shooting. And show jumping. You have to be quite the gentleman to take part in this event. 200-meter freestyle swim. All right. You, me, Thomas. Who does the best in the modern pentathlon?
Me, of course.
All right. I'm going to name the ones that I'm really confident in myself to win. Just only a 200-meter freestyle swim.
I'm really confident in the run.
I don't know, dude. I'm a pretty good runner. You might be able to take me in the run. We'll see. Pistol shooting? I don't know. Maybe I've shot the most guns. I know I would do really terrible on show jumping.
I don't think any of us would do good show jumping.
Probably no one will even let us on a horse. The horse. The horse won't let us on the horse. So we would just have to do show jumping without the horse. Fencing. In which case, it's a toss-up. We're all pretty good runners and jumpers.
Fencing, you have fencing. The longest arms.
I do have the longest arms, yeah. It's an
I don't
advantage,
know anything
but
about fencing.
I'm also the biggest, so that's that makes me the easiest to
I
hit.
Used to watch Hook a lot when I was a kid, so I could be, you know, I picked up some things. You know, a little Peter Pan action?
Well, you know what? We might have to do our own little Rametown Riot version of the modern pentathlon.
How about this? Let's get our listeners. You create five events, and if we'll have a little debate on it, on what are the best five events, and me, Thomas, and Bobby will compete in this.
Yeah, the Rametown Olympics. If you got any ideas for events that you would like to have on the Rametown Modern Pentathlon, we'd like you to shout it out to us on Twitter or our email.
RametownRiot@gmail.com and RametownRiot at Twitter.
If you happen to know one of us, just get a hold of us. If you want to participate in the pentathlon, we'd love to have you. We'll talk more about that event as the Olympics rolls closer.
All right, I got one last thing to close on this Olympics. The U.S. dominance is insane on the Summer Olympics. I don't know if you've ever noticed this. The U.S. absolutely dominate in the Summer Olympics, even more so than the winter.
Mm-hmm.
So, just for all time's sake, U.S. have won over 2,400 medals.
Wow.
In the Olympics. To put it in perspective, second place, the Soviet Union, the U.S. has won over double their amount total medals.
Really?
So, that means the Soviet Union has had less than 1,200 total medals, and the United States has had over 2,400.
I've always thought that is such a crazy thing about the Olympics, is like, they're... Like, we're talking about random sports that we don't know anything about as being in these Olympics. Hit your passcode here. Like, the modern pentathlon, for instance. And guaranteed, there will be an American competing at the very top, you know? So it's just so random. I didn't even know Taekwondo was in the Olympics, but there will be an American that's competing at the top of the world.
Well, I think it really comes down that the United States is very privileged, and we have the opportunity to branch out and try a lot of these events because we're exposed to them, where most countries are not.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I definitely agree with you about that. But it's just wild. Like, you would think there would be some country where this particular sport is popular or this particular event is popular. And they would be the best at it in the world. But generally, it seems like across all the sports, the U.S. seems like they're the best in the world in just about everything. So.
I agree.
Pretty wild.
All right. Let's transition here to a quick little topic on the NBA. A very different topic. And as a Warriors fan, it kind of leaves me a little bit like, damn it. Just because it's bad publicity. And what I'm talking about is Draymond Green again. So Draymond Green has had a very
tumultuous
good word choice. I bet you can't spell that.
Oh, definitely I can.
Oh, you can spell that?
Yeah.
All right, I'll put you on the spot right now. Spell tumultuous.
T-U-M.
Hold on, I gotta figure out how I'm gonna even check to see if you can spell it. Give me a second. Okay, tumultuous. Right. I mean, I bet most of our listeners have no clue. I have no clue.
I'm not even sure if I used the word in the right manner, but I think I did. Do you want me to just tell you how to spell it so you can look it up on your phone?
I actually spelled it right. Oh, yeah. No, I didn't. I was close. I was one letter off. Right, one letter off.
TUMULTUOUS.
Boom!
Boom, baby!
I had an extra L in there.
Okay.
Damn. All right.
So,
good.
Yeah. So Draymond Green, back to the point, story of our topic of our story, sends out a... If you guys are familiar with the way Snapchat works, I believe you probably are because it's like the biggest thing in social media right now. He's trying to send out a picture of his dick to some of his friends or some of his girlfriends or whatever the hell. And he accidentally hits it to my story. And he's followed by like thousands and thousands and thousands of his fans. So everyone that follows Draymond Green on Snapchat gets a picture of his erect penis on their Snapchat story and their phone at work or whatever.
Wait, it was erected?
Yeah, he was sending like a dick pic.
So he actually like jerked off a little bit, then took a picture of his dick?
He was probably, yeah, I'm not sure. I don't really do the dick pic thing, but I think the idea when you send a dick pic is like you're trying to turn a girl on. So I figure like he's sending that out to his girlfriends or whatever to try to get them to be, want to see him. So I'm pretty sure that it's not just like a floppy wiener.
All right. Well, that kind of went a little bit a different way. But that was the biggest thing I took from what you said in the beginning. But yeah, so Draymond Green has had a bad publicity summer with his misdemeanor he had with almost fighting the guy outside that restaurant in East Lansing to now this. And he's going to play in the Olympics for the United States. And I mean, this is not something that is just awful and like you should be shamed and be so ridiculed and all these things and put in the bottom of the league for something, but I feel it's weird. I've never done this. I've never even had the desire to do this. And I don't know. I just think you don't press send. Like a social media and athletes, how do you not? I mean, it was a mistake, but you are a superstar and this is huge. I mean, he has so many followers. I mean, I don't think it's on the level we have to talk about all the time, but I think it's extremely embarrassing bad publicity.
Obviously, he didn't mean to put it out on his story like he said that. But at the same time, with all the stuff that's going on with these athletes and their different women and teammates and all this shit, it's like eventually, do you really want like pics of you naked floating around on the internet? Is that something that's like appealing to you? Should anyone who's interested be able to, like, this stuff has happened over and over again, and sometimes it's just because the girl that you sent it to decided, like, you know, this guy is such a dick, I'm going to post his naked pictures on the internet. That's what happened to Greg Oden, that's what happened to Brett Favre.
Is that supposed
to
be a pun intended? This guy's such a dick,
such a moron, or I don't know, whatever. Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, you got to question the guy's decision-making, but maybe, I don't know, maybe it's not a big deal to him. You know what I actually heard? Draymond got offered $100,000 to star in a porno after the picture of his dick came out. He got offered $100,000 by a big porn production company.
They said, are you serious? Who did you hear this from?
It was on the internet. They said, you get to pick your co-stars, you can do whatever you want. $100,000.
Is he married?
Here's your thing. No, he's not married.
So if you were in Draymond's shoes, would you do that?
If I was in Draymond's shoes, well, I mean, you got a chance to really show your stuff to the world. I mean, it depends what Draymond's interested in. If he's interested in becoming like a mega super celebrity, maybe he does do that. Obviously, sex sells. Kim Kardashian is one of the biggest celebrities in the world, and she got famous from doing a porno video. So you take that aspect, but what I think Draymond cares about is winning basketball games. That's what he's supposed to care about. That's what he's paid millions of dollars to care about, and that would probably be a pretty big distraction from his NBA career, I imagine, if everyone at every visiting arena has seen what you have in bed. And I don't know. It just seems like it might get inside his head. I don't know.
I can see your head spinning about this one. It's a tough question for you. But I would not do that. I would take the millions of dollars I already make, and I would not bring any of that unwanted attention.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Is
yeah.
necessary. I mean, some of these porn girls are absolutely insanely gorgeous, and you get to pick whatever you want. It's a dream situation in some situations, but it's not worth it, in my opinion.
Weirdos, dude.
Yeah, it's not worth it. All right.
$100,000 is really like a...
What are them?
In a fountain to drain money.
Yeah, $100,000. Just signed
an $84 million contract.
Yeah, that's nothing. That's not the problem. I think the thing is his fantasy in his life he could come true.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he gets to hook up with a lot of pretty girls.
Yeah, he already lives in a fantasy. Yeah. All right, let's transition from this talk. let's go to a little bit of a NFL quick buzz. Like, quick things that are happening in the league. We don't have to talk a lot about it, but Ryan Fitzpatrick finally got his deal, and he's in Jets camp, signed a one-year deal. What are your thoughts, Bob?
I've been campaigning for Fitzpatrick since the end of the season, really. I thought he had a hell of a season. I think he's perennially been one of the most underrated quarterbacks in the league. And I don't know what took the Jets so long to sign him. I don't know why he got millions of dollars less than guys that have performed inferior, had worse seasons than him.
So what do you think they're a playoff team?
I think they'll be right there in the playoff hunt, yeah.
Okay, so you'd be in the hunt, but not a surefire playoff team.
I would never say there's a surefire playoff team in the NFL.
Patriots.
It's too crazy, yeah.
Patriots
will probably be there.
Okay. Even without Brady for the first four games. All right, next. I'm a big 49ers fan, and I wanted to touch briefly on what's currently happening at their camp. So they open training camp, and the quarterback situation is still up in the air.
Yeah, quarterback battles are always interesting, especially when you got a big star name in there, Colin Kaepernick, and then you got him competing with Blaine Gabbert. What's your thoughts on the situation?
My thoughts are I like the open controversy. So right now in training camp, Kaepernick and Gabbert are splitting first-team reps right down the middle. There's no favorite at this point, according to Kelly. However, a lot of people think Gabbert's the favorite. And I like it. See if Kaepernick can prove to be that leader and gain the respect back of his teammates to earn that starting job. Whereas Gabbert, they're saying, looks like a totally different quarterback. He looks really good, but this is all speculation. This is all a training camp.
He had a pretty good year last year, didn't he?
He played better than expected. So I like the open competition.
Why are you saying you like the open competition? Why isn't it good to have the leader of your team established going into the season?
Good point. However, in this situation, neither of them are complete surefire, clear-cut starters.
Okay.
And first of all, they're paying Kaepernick so much money, you've got to give him a chance to start. Because if not, get that figured out, get him off the payroll.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to pay him that kind of money as a backup quarterback.
Nah.
So the open competition, I think, brings the best out of players. First of all, from a mental toughness standpoint, if you're a quarterback, you have to be extremely mental tough, which means you have to want that competition, earn it. And I like that aspect. As a competitor, you should like that. And I don't think either of them are proven enough in this point in their career to have that. And it's crazy the fall off of Kaepernick from one time being considered the top young quarterback in the game after when he ran for 180 yards on the Green Bay Packers and nobody needed to stop his running. To now, he's competing against Blaine Gabbert, who couldn't make it in Jacksonville as a starting quarterback.
I mean, he was a freak accident away from winning a Super Bowl, right?
Well, he was one throw away to Michael Crabtree from the Super Bowl, 4th and 5 on the goal line.
Yeah.
But anyway, I like the open competition, and honestly, I truly don't have a player I'm pulling for right now. I want to see the preseason. I'm pulling for Kaepernick because I think he has a higher ceiling. However,
well, wasn't it a thing that Kaepernick with Chip Kelly having a mobile quarterback in Chip Kelly's offense is supposed to be unstoppable and it's supposed to be something that is like a prerequisite for that offense to really reach its
Well, that's one thing potential. that everybody says that because of what he did in college coaching.
Yeah.
It's a little different when you go to the NFL. The speed of the game is so much faster. That DN can also only catch a quarterback. That doesn't happen
Kaepernick
in college.
Kaepernick is the fastest quarterback.
He's very fast. However, my point is that you can't have a lot of design runs in these read option games that defense have learned now. The read option was the big play that Kaepernick ran for all his yards on. It's where he has an option to read the D end or whoever that key is to hand it off to the running back or run. And so he'd read that option and then go for it. However, defenses have transitioned to that, and now they just hit the quarterback every single play.
Oof.
And so I feel like the running game will be a factor of the quarterback. It helps him. But Blaine Gabbert is extremely athletic. He is a very, very underrated athlete. He had a 50-yard touchdown run last year.
Really?
Yes.
What?
People don't understand. He was...
I thought we were talking about like a Phillip Rivers type
dude. No, not at all. Not at all.
50-yard touchdown run, that's insane. You have to be really, really athletic.
Yeah.
And then I would have been impressed if you would have said 20-yard touchdown run.
But yeah, so that's my point. I just want to talk about that. It's open competition, and I like it. And
so I think, was it not Joe Montana was vouching for Gabbert?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of it is they're saying Kaepernick has lost a lot of the respect in the locker room. And as a quarterback, you got to have all the respect in the locker room.
Yeah, you want to be a leader of men. That's, I think, one of the biggest prerequisites for being a quarterback, yeah?
Yep.
All right, so what else we got on these NFL quick buzz besides a couple of quarterback issues? You got anything else going for us?
Training camp has started. A little bit of injury. Stevie Johnson got hurt for the Chargers. Not a huge impact, but a little bit of a deal. And then the first-round pick, William Jackson from Houston, the Cincinnati Bengals. He's a Cincinnati Bengals, but he got drafted from the college of Houston. That cornerback tore his pectoral muscle, so he is also out for the season. So those are just little hits. Nothing huge.
Hear about these injuries, dude. The backup quarterback for the Cowboys just got injured. This is a pretty interesting situation.
Kellen Moore, I played against him.
Yeah.
Him and Derek Carr, the two best quarterbacks I ever played against in college. Kellen Moore would get to his third option by his third step in his drop back at Boise State. It was crazy. He read our defense so good. It was insane. And Derek Carr was, I'll never forget the story when I played against Derek Carr. I am running a smoke blitz, a safety blitz off the side, and Derek Carr, pre-snap, I'm disguising. I'm not even showing it. Is yelling, smoke right, smoke right. So calling our blitz name, first of all, and the side is coming. And so as a blitzer, I'm like, damn it. And so when I blitz, obviously the freaking right tackle comes out and blocks me. So I didn't have much. It's hard to get around a right tackle.
You got to be catching him unsuspecting, right?
Correct. So anyway, those are my two stories. Kellen Moore, Derek Carr, two best quarterbacks I played against.
Yeah, so it's a bummer to hear about Kellen Moore. And now they're in the hunt for another quarterback, and there's a lot of whispers going on that Nick Foles might be their quarterback. I mean, it's not usually that big of a deal for backup quarterback situation, but the situation with the Cowboys is you haven't been able to rely on Romo recently because of injuries, yeah?
Yeah. I mean, Nick Foles just got cut from the Rams. I think it makes sense. They're... backup quarterback situation the last couple of years, ever since Kyle Orton retired, has been bad. They need a good backup, which I'm not saying Nick Foles is. Nick Foles was miserable last year for the Rams. However, he was great under Chip Kelly.
He was. He 2 years away from having one of the best seasons in NFL history? So.
28 touchdowns, 2 interceptions.
Yeah. Pretty insane. So here's some interesting football stuff. It's called Pick Three. Pick your team that has the best combination of quarterback, running back, wide receiver. Number one wide receiver. We can think of some teams that have absolute studs.
Mine is an instance, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Man, you're so close. You're so quick.
It's not even close. Yeah, I think Le'Veon Bell is the best.
Good one.
I don't throw the Cowboys near them. I think the Steelers are so far ahead of the Cowboys, it's not even funny.
What about the Falcons?
How much do you touch Devontae Freeman? I think Ben Roethlisberger is 2 tiers ahead of Matt Ryan, and Antonio Brown and Julio Jones is a toss-up.
Yeah, I got to agree. I was hoping it would take you more than a second to think about the Steelers. You're so fast with this shit.
Well, I think Le'Veon Bell might be the best running back in the NFL. Ben Roethlisberger is a top 5, and Antonio Brown's number 1.
All right, that's a good section on the Rametown Riot. We're going to have an ad for you really quick, and then we'll be back with our closing statements and our rapid riots.
All right, everybody. I'm going to talk about Wilderness Athlete right now. Wilderness Athlete is the authority on outdoor performance. From the backcountry to the weight room, Wilderness Athlete provides the nutrition your body needs. This goes from protein to different supplements to green drink with all the kale and all that crap mixed in together that's good for you. We all use Wilderness Athlete products.
Love it.
It's fantastic. Check them out at wildernessathlete.com.
Quick, do you know what's going on? All right, Matt, I got some breaking news for you from the NBA world. You know we love our NBA talk here at the Raymetown Riot, and this is big-time stuff. There's rumors going around. It looks like they're building momentum on Russell Westbrook signing a 3-year contract to stay with the Oklahoma City Thunder at least through the next 2 seasons with a player option for the 3rd season.
Wow.
Yeah, coming in at around $30 million a season.
So that locks him up for 2 more years when he is a free agent next season.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, this is a no-brainer for the Thunder. Russell Westbrook's one of the top talents in the league. But the trend lately in the NBA has been for the big dog to take the hypothetical easy route to the finals by signing with a team that's already a contender or already chock full of stars, a la Kevin Durant, a la LeBron James twice.
A bunch of names.
Yeah, so a lot of guys have been chasing titles, and it looks like Westbrook is after the idea of he wants to do it with his team on his back, on his terms, and compete against everybody else.
I think it's absolutely huge, huge for Oklahoma City. If they want to stay competitive at all in the near future, they have to re-sign Russell Westbrook. So this two-year contract really, it's really a 2-year contract because he'll probably opt out after his 3rd year and make more money. That's how a lot of these contracts work. But it's huge. It absolutely shows Russell Westbrook's commitment to Oklahoma City. And I think it would shock a lot of people because he has been well known wanting to be going to LA because of his fashion. He's absolutely obsessed with fashion and starting a line and all that, and his marketing and publicity would be huge in LA. However, I have a question for you with this. Do you think it's more that Westbrook sees this as a publicity stunt to be known as that guy that stays with this team more or less than the villain right now like Kevin Durant?
I don't know, man. I'm not going to get too much into like the ego of Russell Westbrook and who he wants to be. But I think I'm not surprised at all that he's not the type of guy that wants to go join the Cavaliers or the Spurs or some other team that's already competing at the top of the league. I think Westbrook is the guy that he's one of the toughest competitors in the league. I think he goes out every night trying to prove he's the best player in the world. And I think it would be too much of a hurt on his ego to go sign with a leading team like that. I don't know. That's my take on it.
I agree. I agree on that aspect of the Cavaliers. However, I do think he would go to the Lakers or a bigger market. I really think his personality fit that very well just because of how much he loves the industry of fashion and Hollywood and all of that. And he's from L.A. or he's from Southern California. So I think that's...
Went to school at UCLA. There's always been talk about him and Kevin Love going back to the Lakers eventually after playing at UCLA. I mean, I don't know, man. I'd be happy for Oklahoma City. I was kind of bummed. Never really rooted for them, but I was kind of bummed to see them lose their superstar and Kevin Durant. I think Russell Westbrook coming back, they obviously have a hole at small forward where Kevin Durant left, and they didn't really fill it with anybody. So now they've got Andre Robertson and Kyle Singler trying to play small forward. But they still got a hell of a team. They still got Oladipo that they traded for. They've got their post duo of Adams and Kanter that was kicking ass through the playoffs this last winter. So, yeah, I mean.
I think – so my thing here is I think it makes – if this so not, this drill this deal is not for sure, this is all rumors, but I think that it's going to turn Oklahoma City into the team that people are rooting for. I think that they are going to be a team that America in general is going to root for much more than they even were last year just because of Durant, especially if they start rolling through and getting some victories, getting a top 4 seed in the Western Conference or something that way.
I think it's totally doable. I mean, Westbrook's one of the top players in the league. The Western Conference isn't quite as heavy up top as it used to be as far as, like, having 6-7 teams that are all going to get 50 wins. Like, they might have 3 or 4 teams that are going to get to that level. You know what I mean?
No, I agree. And, it's definitely
Westbrook's
going to
be bordering on putting up a triple-double every night the way I see it. So it's his show. He's going to run it. I'm excited to see it. Where do you see them finishing?
I see finishing somewhere around five.
Yeah, yeah. Be exciting, man. I mean, if they finish in the fourth or fifth seed, that's suits them to spot up with the imaginary 4-1 of the Golden State Warriors. I'd love to see Oklahoma City play the Warriors again in the playoffs.
That would be insane. That would be insane.
Too much fun. All right.
Here we go.
Boom. For the Rapid Riots.
All right. Let's do it, Bob. Do you want to start or should I start today?
Get him, Matt.
All right. My Rapid Riot, I want to go back to the Olympics a little bit, and I want to shed light on to just women's sports in the Olympics have been absolutely dominant for the USA. Dominant. And I feel like it gets overshadowed a lot. But just some of the main sports that we compete in, just so for our listeners, for women's basketball, it's not even a competition. It's worse than men's basketball, if you guys don't know this. They've won gold every year since 1992.
Wow.
They literally, they're not even close in games. It's not even a competition. If you think the men dominate, it's even on another level with the women. Women's volleyball, they've won at least five. They've won five out of the last nine medals, total medals possible, in women's volleyball. So they clearly are the most consistent team. Women's soccer, they've won gold in the Olympics every year since 1996, except year 2000, which they took silver. So that's dominant. I mean, soccer, they have a little bit more competition with China and Japan. However, they are still clearly the best team. And lastly, another big sport is softball. Softball, they're absolutely dominant. They've won gold 1996, 2000, 2004, took second in 2008, and gold in 2012.
Way to go, girls.
There you go.
Freaking so that, impressive. That's we're proud of you, ladies. Bam. All right, I couldn't leave it alone. My Rapid Riot, I get to talk a little bit about the UFC. First, I want to congratulate Tyron Woodley on his first round knockout of Robbie Lawler. Anyone that was saw the fight, obviously, this guy's a beast. I can't wait to see him fight again. And big news in the UFC, we got Nate Diaz's older brother, coming back from his 18-month suspension for marijuana. Nick Diaz is one of the biggest stars in the sport. He's fought all the big-name guys that you've ever heard of, Anderson Silva, GSP, Matt Hughes.
Wait, those aren't all the same weight class.
He's fought them all, though.
He's went all the way through all those weight classes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Nick Diaz is an absolute animal. I'm excited to have him back. I can't wait to see who he fights. There's rumors going around of a potential rematch with George St. Pierre in a comeback. It would be two of the biggest stars in the history of the sport. I'm just stoked to see what the UFC has to offer us for the rest of the year.
All right. Good take here, Bob. And, yeah, thanks for joining us, everybody. Hit us up on Twitter if you have any questions or comments or want us to talk about a specific sport, or email us at raintownriot@gmail.com.
We want to thank you for coming back and visiting us, giving us a listen. We're sorry about the delay in coming out with an episode, but we brought it back with two episodes this week, so that's exciting for all of you, and we will be back every single week posting new episodes, being active on Twitter, as well as engaging in future social media sites. You guys have a good week.
Well, I got all my stuff stuffed in a ride and truck, and I'm headed to the city to get live. It's live. Well, I got all my stuff stuffed in a ride and truck, and I'm headed to the city to get live. It's fuck on some 10-foot mic for bonafide. What? Banging on a beatbox must have been down on my luck. But I'm ill till my final 5 bucks dries up. In the meantime, keep your mind up.